Speaking of things that don't work, I had these great videos that I worked hard on to pull together for this morning, and I brought them here, and they don't work. So anyways, I guess you're just going to have to listen to me talk. I don't know if I can describe them or not. I'll try and describe some of them for you. Some of them you probably remember. How many of you have seen Dead Poets Society? It's an old movie. A lot of you have seen that. The clip that I was going to start with this morning was at the beginning of that movie. And if you remember, this new instructor walks into his classroom. This is a private school. And he asks them to all come out into the hallway. And in the hallway are all these pictures of previous classmates that had gone to this school, old pictures of people on the wall. And he said, you know, you've walked past these pictures many times. You probably haven't stopped to look at them very often. And I can't remember how he said it, but basically he said, these guys are now feeding the worms. And so he used it as a way of getting these guys to think about the fact that in this moment in time is the time that we have to do what God has asked us to do. And that's not their theme, but that was my theme. We have a certain amount of days that have been given to us on this earth, and that we should seize those days, seize that moment as we have it. And that's the title of my message today, is called Seize the Day. And does anybody know the Latin phrase for seize the day? I figured Reuben would know it. Vicky? Anybody else? Carpe diem. Yeah, if you've watched that movie, carpe diem is the Latin phrase for that, called seize the day. And I was thinking about this clip and a lot of other things as I was preparing for this message, but also as I was just getting ready for the new year. And I don't know how you think about New Year's. Maybe as you're younger, they don't really occur to you as a big event, but as you get older, I think each year you think about what this next year is going to hold and what this past year, what you accomplished this past year. You know, what do you dream about accomplishing in 2009? Does anybody have some dreams for 2009? I have some dreams for next year, or even 2010, or maybe 2015. What do you dream of accomplishing in your life? What is your life for? What are you here for? Well, I have some mixed feelings when I think, reflect on this past year, and also when I think of the new one coming. There's some sense of sadness when I think of this past year. Because I remember some of those dreams that I had for this last year that seemed to have gotten shoved to the side. Maybe I didn't take the time for them, or they were kind of marginalized in my life, sidelined. And sometimes I even, when looking into a new year, I get a little anxious when I think about all the things that I would like to accomplish. I get a little anxiety thinking, how am I going to do all of those things that I'd like to do this next year? And will I ever see some of these things come to fruition? Well, this morning, I want to encourage you to hold on tight to your dreams. And that makes me think of another song that I was going to play for you this morning. Anybody know that song by ELO? I might try and sing it, but I'll not do that, but called Hold On Tight to Your Dreams. It's an old song that I had to think of when I thought of this idea as well. But I want to encourage you to hold on to your dreams. Maybe you've never been encouraged to dream, but I want to encourage you to dream this morning. I read an interesting phrase on the internet that's, I forget who quoted, who said it, but he said, every man dies, but not every man lives. That's interesting. Every person dies, but not every person lives. Do you think about that a little bit, what that might mean? But I want you to dream this morning. I want you to think about what it is that God could do with your life. And I know some of you are saying, well, I'm not really a visionary type person. I'm not really a dreamer. But all of us have a passion about things in life that God has given us. We all have a passion about different things. And some of that passion has come from God's own dreams that He's given to us. And those are the dreams that I want you to grab onto. I want you to think about what God could do with your life. Allow God to make your life an extraordinary life. I want to put a few parameters around this idea of seize the day so you don't misunderstand me. The phrase carpe diem carries with it this idea that one should make the most of current opportunities because life is short and time is fleeting. Now, some would interpret this phrase to mean eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. That would be one way of looking at that, and I know people who live life that way. It's like, I'm going to live this to the fullest. I'm going to party hard while I'm here because I know at any moment I could die. That's one way of looking at that. We get somewhat of an understanding of that in reading Ecclesiastes. The Bible in Ecclesiastes, it talks about enjoying this life because it's not always going to be here. Well, that's one way of looking at it, but the Bible really doesn't encourage a reckless foray through life with no real purpose. It is in the New Testament where everything comes to light and we understand really what our true purpose is. You see, not all dreams are the same. Some of my dreams need to be thrown out. And I would guess that some of your dreams probably need to be thrown out as well. We need to be able to understand what dreams are worth following, what dreams are worth fighting for, and what others are really not worth pursuing, because many are not. And I think that's one of our greatest challenges in life, is to discern what are those dreams that are really just my dreams that aren't going to amount to much, and what are those dreams that God has given me to follow through on. Now, I want you to encourage you to hold on tight to those dreams that God has given to you. Jesus is the one who promised true life, abundant life. And I wonder if we really understand that abundant life. Or have we even discarded some of those dreams about what Jesus can do with us, what Jesus can do through us, what He can do around us in our environment. Those are the dreams that I want to encourage you to hang on to. Now, a couple months ago, I gave an open invitation to some men here, to the men at this congregation, if they would like to meet for some Bible study and some focused discipleship. And since that time, I've been meeting with four guys who have expressed interest. And we meet at 7 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays, Saturday mornings at 7 o'clock. And the last time we got together, it was cold and dark. And I was wondering myself what I was doing getting up at this time on Saturday morning and coming out here. And so I asked them when we got all together, I said, what are you guys doing here? It's 7 o'clock on a cold Saturday morning. What are you doing here? And each of them, well, after they woke up a little bit, talked about the idea that they're desiring to draw closer to God in some way. They have a desire to know Him better. And I know many of you as well have that same desire here this morning. And so their hope and part of their dream is that maybe as we get together and as we study God's Word, as we pray together, as we hold each other accountable, that those things will draw us closer to God. And so they have a dream. You might say, well, that's kind of a small dream. But I think it's a pretty big dream. think it's a pretty important dream. Those are the kinds of dreams that we need in our lives, the ones that we need to hang on to. So I ask you this morning, what are your dreams? What dreams do you have? Do they line up with God's dreams for you? God has created each of you with unique abilities and also with unique dreams about how you might be able to change the world around you. What are those dreams? Have you accepted that call that God has placed on your life, or do you even know what that call is? You recognized it. Well, this morning I want to look briefly at Nehemiah. And I want to encourage you to read the book of Nehemiah. I'm not going to read through it this morning because I just want to summarize a few things. But you can turn to the first chapter. I'm going to talk a little bit from there and throughout the book. But as you move into this next year, I want to encourage you, take the book of Nehemiah. It's only 13 chapters, and read through that book. Because I find Nehemiah to be a very encouraging person when it comes to holding on to dreams, holding on to what it is that God has given us to do, and following through on that, persevering. So read that as you go into this next year. The thoughts that I have this morning, I don't know where they all came from. They came from studying some in the Bible. They also came from, I'm reading a book right now called Visioneering by Andy Stanley, who draws some of these ideas out of the book of Nehemiah. And also just a variety of life experiences that I've had that kind of have come together and what God has been speaking to me about. So I feel like this message is something, as always, that God is really speaking to me about. And hopefully it's something that you can relate to as well. But if we look at Nehemiah, and when you read through that, you'll notice some things about him. You'll quickly understand in the first few verses that Nehemiah has a concern. Nehemiah has a concern about the children of Israel and about Jerusalem. And if you know the story, you know that the Israelites had been taken into captivity, and the holy city, Jerusalem, had been burned, and the walls were broken down. And if you read the Old Testament, you'll understand that this description, this physical description of Jerusalem, was really also a picture of their spiritual condition, the spiritual condition of the people. They had turned their backs on God, which resulted in their captivity and the destruction of Jerusalem. And Nehemiah himself was a captive working for the king of Persia, working as his cupbearer. And when Nehemiah finds out, he gets a report about what has happened to Jerusalem and what it looks like. And when he gets this report of the terrible condition of the people there and of the walls and of the gates that were burned, his heart is broken for his people and for the city. And he weeps. It says that he weeps for days. And my question for you is, what is it that breaks your heart? What is it that you weep for? What is it do you think that God weeps for in our day and age right now? If you were to think of that. What are those things in your own heart that concern you? What is the burden that God has laid on your heart? Because I'm not convinced that we can really motivate ourselves without having a burden, without having a concern about something around us, maybe in our own life or in our family or in our community or in the world. It's hard for us to motivate ourselves to do something when we don't really have a concern. And so my first question for you is, what is that concern in your heart that God has given you? What burns in your heart that you, if you could do anything, that you would change the situation? If it was up to you, if you had the power to change it, What is it that burns in your heart? What is that dream that God has given you? I believe that God opens his heart to each of us in probably many different ways, that he shows us his heart for the world. And when we see that, our own heart catches fire. And we have a concern that kind of burns within us, that we wish we could change, that we would like to see something happen. And that's where our dreams come from, is that concern. At least the important ones. What do you weep with God about? And maybe you don't know what that is this morning. Maybe you need to pray and ask God to give you a concern. But that's the first thing I see in Nehemiah's life here that we need to pay attention to. The second thing I see is that Nehemiah's situation looks impossible. Any of you ever been in a situation where it kind of looked impossible? Or maybe you're in some right now. I think all of us have been in those situations where we look at it and say, you know what? I don't know how this could ever turn out. I don't know where this is going. I don't know how God can use this. I don't know what I can do about it. And I think Nehemiah's situation looked like that. He was a captive with really little power to change anything about this situation. And yet, if you read his prayer in the first few verses there, you notice at the end of the prayer that he asks God to use him to do something about it. If you remember a few weeks ago, I talked about kingdom praying, and this is a kingdom prayer here that Nehemiah is praying. He's asking God to work in this situation, but not only just God, but God, use me. Use me in this situation to change what has happened. Why does he do this? Because God laid this on his heart to do so. God placed a dream in his heart of a Jerusalem that was restored, of a wall that was rebuilt. And Nehemiah was holding on to that dream. Nehemiah knew that this was not going to be accomplished by sheer ambition or ability or even just good luck. He knew that the only way he was going to be able to do anything about this situation was if God intervened. We see this over and over in Scripture when people have what I call God-sized dreams. God-sized dreams always look impossible. That's the way they look. And the question isn't whether or not it looks impossible, but the question is really whether it's from God or not. Is this dream from God? If God has given you a dream, is your job simply to believe it, to believe that he can do it, and to join him in carrying it out? It's not for us to get caught up in our own inability or maybe even caught up in our own ability to carry out our responsibility. It isn't important, really, what we can add to it. It isn't important how big it looks. The important question to ask is, did God give this to me? Is this a dream that is consistent with God's will? Is he asking me to do this? So what about you? Have you allowed yourself to be overwhelmed by the impossibilities of your dreams? Or maybe you automatically discard God's dreams when they look impossible or difficult. But I wonder, do you honestly ever expect to see God do amazing things if you never give him the opportunity to do something amazing? Think about it. If God always has to fit in the parameters of what we can understand and explain how it could work, then how is God going to work something amazing in our lives that is beyond what we can understand? And maybe you're like me, sometimes you wonder, well, God, why don't I see these great miracles? Well, I think we see them. I think we miss them sometimes. But I think also that maybe we haven't given God the opportunity to do that. Maybe our faith, we really don't believe that He will do that. But we have to remember that God is a God who can do anything. It is in those times when things look impossible that we really understand our need for God. And so what do we see Nehemiah doing here? We see Nehemiah calling out to the Lord in prayer. Like I said, he prayed a kingdom prayer. It wasn't about Nehemiah, but it was about God's kingdom and His glory. He recognized that only God could change the situation, and he petitioned to be a part of the solution. I'm wondering, are you praying about the mission that God has given you? Maybe you don't even know what that is yet, and maybe that's part of your prayer. But whatever the case is, I encourage you to pray about it. Recognize God's awesome power. Ask Him for forgiveness for the weaknesses in your life, for the sin in your life. And ask Him, as Nehemiah did, to grant you success in the mission that He's given you to do. Are you praying those kinds of prayers? Are you seeking the Lord for big things? And finally, the last point I'd like to make is that it's important to note that Nehemiah planned. Even though he had a burden, he didn't immediately rush off to fix the problem. He prayed, and then he planned. He was looking for an opportunity. He had his eyes open. God, use me. When is it that you want to use me? What is it that you want me to do? How is this going to work? He put a plan in place, and he waited for the right time to execute that plan. We see that when the opportunity came along, Nehemiah asked the king. And it's interesting to me, if you look at that passage, it says that he was afraid. The opportunity came, and Nehemiah knew this was the moment. This was the time. And he was afraid. He wasn't a perfect person. He was fearful of what could happen. Because back in those days, if you look at the king wrong, he could get rid of you very easily. There's no question about it. They didn't necessarily care much about it, I don't think. It was just the way kings worked. And so he had this opportunity, but he was afraid. But he took the opportunity, and he plunged in. And he asked the king, when he had the opportunity, if he could go back and rebuild the walls in Jerusalem. He didn't ask him for just small things. If you read through, you'll notice he asked him for materials, he asked him for laborers, all kinds of things that he already had planned out about how he was going to fix the walls in Jerusalem. So Nehemiah had that planned out ahead of time. His request reflects significant detail, and his forthcoming actions indicate that he spent some time thinking about how he might accomplish the task at hand. How about you? As you look forward to this next year, 2009, I wonder, what plans are you putting into place that will help you carry out the vision that God has given you? Or maybe you've reached the end of 2008 and you've realized that you aren't making much progress on the real dreams that you have, on God's dreams. As I've looked back on this past year and reflected on the dreams God has given me, I've realized that there are several that I simply have not planned well for. I've become too busy or distracted. They're things that were very important to me, but somehow they got pushed to the side. Other things rose to the top, and I hadn't allocated time for them, space for them. have become too busy or distracted to make concrete plans about how they might be accomplished. And these are some of the things that I want to change for this next year. I want to take a few moments to remember those things that God has burned on my heart. And once I recognize and understand again what they are, I want to make some concrete plans about how they might be accomplished. Not to figure God out of the equation, but to be ready. To be ready to move forward in what God has given me to do. This next year, our Strive group, this is the discipleship group that I've been working with, is looking at reading through the entire Bible for the next year. Now, we've been doing some practice runs here the last part of the year, and it's been a little challenging for some of us to realize, you know, hey, we come together and say, well, I'm a week behind my reading, and this isn't as much as what it would be to read through the Bible in a year. And so we realize that this, for us, it's going to be a challenge to be able to do this, to read through. I wonder how many of you have done that, have read through the Bible. And why have this kind of a dream? Well, it goes back to the same dream that they expressed earlier. The dream of really understanding God and all that He has for us. And what a better way to understand Him than to study His own words that He's given to us. In a couple weeks, our small group is going to have a party and play some games, and we're going to invite some more neighbors and friends to come to that. And our hope is that out of that interaction, that some of them might be interested and join our Bible discussion group that we have during the week. It's our dream. It's my dream that some more people would be interested in studying about God and learning who He is and discovering the freedom that we have in Christ to learn about Jesus. It's one of my dreams. It's a dream of our group. We want to follow through on that. We want to have another block party this spring. And the same goal is to meet people, to befriend them, and to ask others, do you want to study about God? Are you interested in learning about what His plan is for your life? Larissa and I plan to go to Nicaragua the end of next month to serve as part of a mission work team. Why spend that money, especially when I just lost my job? You might think that's a little silly, and I thought about it too myself for a while, wondering whether that was a good thing to do. But it seemed clear that God wanted us to go anyway. There are reasons. It's one of my dreams to go with each of my children to serve in another country. Because I believe that experience will leave an indelible impression on them and on me. An impression about what God is not only doing here, but what God is doing in the world and what He wants to do in the world. It's a dream that I want to hang on to. I have dreams about how God might use me as a husband, as a father, and as a pastor. I have dreams about our church, how God might use us in new ways to change this community, to change the world. And I think that's why I love Nehemiah so much, because I see someone there who really sees the day. He understood God's call on his life, and he took a hold of that. And he hung on to it. And if you read through Nehemiah, you see that he had lots of difficulty. He had lots of problems that he had to face down in following through on this dream that God had given him. All kinds of opposition and difficulty. But he persevered. And he rebuilt the wall in a mere 52 days. you read all that happened, it's an amazing feat. We know that God did that. But God used Nehemiah to do that. This was surely a God-sized dream. But who would want to settle for anything less? Why would we want to settle for any other kind of dream? It may seem morbid to you, but it is true that at any moment, each of our lives could be over. Mark Twain said, "The fear of death follows from the fear of life. A man who lives fully is prepared to die at any time." And I'd have to say that in the few moments that I have, I want to give myself fully to what it is that God has made me to do for Him. He's made each of us unique and special to carry out a part of His plan. And I want to seize the day as best that I can and go after those things that God has burned into my own heart. Father, we thank You for the example of Nehemiah. We thank You for his commitment to You. We thank You for the vision that he had to carry out part of Your plan. And Lord, I pray that we could learn from his example. I pray that You would open our eyes to those things that You want our lives to be about. Father, we ask that You would burn in our hearts that concern, that passion for the things that You have concern about, the things that You care about. Lord, we ask that You would burn those into our own hearts. Father, give us faith to believe in You, that You could carry out these impossible dreams that You give to us. May we lean on You and trust You to carry them out. And Lord, I pray that as we look into 2009, that You would give us courage and strength, that we would not be distracted with lesser dreams that don't amount to anything. And Lord, we just look forward to what it is that You're going to do in our lives, what it is that You're going to do in our church, in our community, and in our world. For we know that You love us, that You care about us, and that You want to draw us to Yourself. Give us eyes to see what it is that You want to do in us and through us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.